3 weeks ago, I told you about how Philip Ruddock's review into religious freedoms had commenced. At the time, I said you'd be lucky to find out about it because the sittings weren't advertised and they weren't recorded. They weren't even documented. The National Secular Lobby have, I guess understandably, some real concerns. Chris Schott, you're a former senator and now an ambassador to the National Secular Lobby, which has called the Ruddock Inquiry a black hole of secrecy. Tell me why.
Well, because, as you introduced it, when we put a submission in, 10 pages, carefully written and carefully thought out, stating the secular position, why we don't want any further changes to give further exemptions of any sort to any religious group at the expense of the rest of the population. We put our submission in and then we inquired whether we could give evidence. Now, orally, they were holding hearings. Well, it took a while before they finally came around and said, yes, you will be in Adelaide, you'll have 45 minutes. So we turn up at the hearing and Mr. Ruddock's there and Father Brennan are the only two. The other three members of the panel weren't there, but that's okay. And we ask questions about on process. One, was this being recorded? Was it like Hansard? No. Secondly, unlike any normal parliamentary inquiry, it doesn't have parliamentary privilege. Thirdly, there would be some notes taken by two members of the Prime Minister's Department Secretariat. But would we get a copy of those? No. So there was no recording, no record kept.
Mate, this is extraordinary.
I said to Mr. Ruddock and Father Brennan, I said, look, I've been around for a while in politics. I said, the way you're conducting this and the terms of reference, etc., I said, I would expect Joe Stalin and the old Soviet Union to run an inquiry
That's
like
right.
this.
How many non-religious groups have been invited to give...
We don't know. We know of four ourselves.
Four?
Only because we know them through our own contacts.
Of all these thousands...
We only know of four because the humanist group or the rationalist group, etc., we know them and they said they were putting a submission in. They're the only four we know of.
I've never heard anything like it. Now, this inquiry was set up in the wake of the gay marriage debate. Now, a lot of Christians would say they're feeling pretty bruised by that debate and they do need protection. What's your response to that?
Well, our submission, of course, was the existing law on these matters, the Sex Discrimination Act, the Racial Discrimination Act, etc. All of those, we say, are perfectly okay to protect everybody on all sides on the issues of freedom of religion. I put to Mr. Ruddock and Father Brennan, further to our written submission, can you tell me and us what amendments you are putting into the Act to give this so-called protection to, you know, a baker who doesn't want to bake a cake for a gay couple getting married, or a florist, you know, the stuff that was thrown around? And they said, oh, no. I said, well, surely we have a right to know what you're thinking.
So for my listeners, Chris... Explain, do religious bodies have extra freedom or rights that others don't have?
Of course, this is the point we made. You already have religious groups, already have, under existing laws, exemptions that the rest of us don't have, you know, if you're non-religious. We did point out that in the last census, 30% of Australians said they had no religion. What are our protections? Why should we be? Why should we get hit? And that there's exemptions for those who have a particular religion. And then I said, if you put any amendments up like this to the law, we will conduct a major campaign against you because it is just not appropriate. We want a secular society where everyone has freedom of religion, but we also all have freedom from religion.
Well, Chris, Christians might argue that they couldn't possibly hire a gay person or a woman if it went against their teaching. Like, isn't that an issue of religious freedom?
Of course. Now, they, under the existing, you know, acts of Parliament, human rights, etc., discrimination, there were exemptions so that a Christian church or a Muslim church or a Jewish church or school, sorry, I should say, don't have to employ an atheist to be a teacher. They have the right to say, well, if you don't believe in our religion, we can't employ you. Well, okay, that exemption is there. I don't think it should be there, but it is there.
I'm talking with Chris Schott, former senator and now ambassador to the National Secular Lobby. Chris, let's come to this point. Should churches be allowed to sack someone for being gay?
Absolutely not. The laws of Australia in the state level and the federal level have made it quite clear you cannot discriminate against somebody because of their sexuality. And there's a famous phrase that's been in the Labor Party policy put there by Whitlam, Murphy and Dunstan in the 60s that said, what consenting adults do in private is their business. It's not the business of the state to interfere into the privacy of what consenting adults do in their own bedroom.
What about, Chris, what about refusing women positions in ministry, not letting them be priests or ministers or anything like that?
I have to say, I think that's just ridiculous. I would say they should have some of that ability to discriminate reduced. Now, I don't disagree that if I'm running a atheist organisation or, you know, a non-religious group that that has a particular agenda, that someone who's turned as a practising Catholic wants to come along and join and then argue consistently against the principles of the organisation. I understand there's got to be a balance in that. But to discriminate against somebody that legally the law says you cannot do it anymore on sexuality. Therefore, I think all churches, all religious groups, and any other non-religious groups should not be able to discriminate on the employment basis. We'll sack you because we don't like you because you're gay, you're lesbian, you're heterosexual, you're bisexual, you're transgender.
You're atheist.
Or even us atheists, and I always put myself around the other way, I describe myself as a humanist. I believe in people. We should not be discriminated either.
Now, Chris, I get a lot of correspondence asking why churches get to be tax-free. If we're giving them a tax break, should they have an obligation to adhere to the same rules as everybody else?
Is yes, and I think there is increasing pressure arising. What are all churches doing? They're all running commercial activities as well.
Yep.
And where is the crossover? If you're running, let's say, a religious group is running a Christmas card business, you know, a card business, and they're running it as part of their thing, and they get a tax exemption. They don't pay tax because they're a so-called charitable organisation. Down the road, there is a private small business who's printing cards, but he has to pay tax on his business. Now, sooner or later, he might say, this is unfair. This is a commercial business they're operating in, and they get an advantage over me. Now, I think that over the coming decades, maybe not even that long, the debate about exemptions for any group to get a privilege over anybody else in the community, whether it's religious or tax or business, people are going to say that's just not fair.
Chris, as a Christian, God bless you, mate. And thanks so much for talking to us tonight.
And good luck to you.
Good on you.